All right, guys, welcome to Property Profits Podcast. I'm your host, Bryce Kaminsky, filling in for Dave Dubow. And have you ever wondered what it takes to seamlessly transition from a tech professional into a thriving real estate buy and hold in the multifamily space? Today, my guest, John Totterud from Seattle, not only navigating this intriguing shift, but it's mastered the art of raising capital for these multifamily properties. If you're curious about the secrets behind his success and the pivot that he made, while you're in luck, I've got John on the show. John, welcome to the show. Great to have you here.
Thanks for inviting me on, Bryce. It's great to talk with you. I look forward to having a good conversation, share a few things about my experience, and maybe add some value to your listeners today.
Yeah, definitely. So let's start right at the beginning. What got you into real estate? Because as a tech professional, you likely were doing all right. But what kind of drew you into the real estate game?
I like things that I can control. I was not having good experiences with all of my, mainstream investments, mutual funds and stocks and IRAs and things like that. I mean, they progress, they do all right. And sometimes they do great. Sometimes they drop, and the long run, they just do pretty well. But I felt kind of helpless. It just wasn't really where I wanted to be, and wanted something more. I've had an entrepreneurial inclination virtually my whole life. I like building things, and I was looking for something, another way to apply that. And I in a tech professional, you're either building a product on your own or you're working for somebody else, and all great at ways of spending your money and making money, but it really wasn't answering something that I needed at the time, something more fulfilling. And so I looked around and thought of a number of different ways of applying myself and potential businesses or investments or things that I could do. And real estate really fit most of these criteria more things than anything else. I like the whole idea of essentially buying another business when you buy a property, an ongoing business. I like to be able to get in there and control it and decide the things that need to be done for it and how to improve the value and really where where value add opportunities are. And the more you get into it, as you know, the more you learn about things like markets and tenants and investors and how to put all these things together into a successful real estate venture.
Well, I like what you said, that essentially you're buying a business when you move to the multifamily space, because a lot of people will look at it like multiple houses, or they'll think about it still as like housing. But the most successful people I've seen kind of do the multifamily space is when they look at it and say, this is a business, the tenants are my clients, and it's a mindset shift. So how do you set yourself up for that sort of business mindset when it comes to your multifamily?
Well, it starts with your team, the people around you. They have to share your mindset, and your vendors. If you're using a property manager, and I always do, then your property manager has to have a similar mindset. It can't just be punching the clock and just doing the bare minimum. The people need to be thinking along those lines. The business mindset applies to a lot of things. It is relationships and every aspect of the business. It is a financial awareness, is being able to look at finances and get information from them. There's mountains of data, information from data, I should say. And, my background in technology has made me particularly aware of that and given me skills that I can use to apply it and to glean that information. And so you're looking at a business in terms of more than just the bottom line. You're looking at income and expenses, of course, but you're looking at what's driving the income. These are tenants, obviously, that are paying the rents, but can you get tenants into your units? And no, we're a little slow on leasing up a unit. Well, why is that? And then it's getting data from the property manager on maybe marketing or what the market is like in that area, or maybe your pricing is wrong, or maybe prospective tenants are not responding to ads. All of that Data. It's more than just your leasing manager saying the right things to a prospective tenant. It is analyzing what's actually
Training them,
going on.
yeah.
And so there's a every aspect of it needs to be the business part. And then there's sales. Can you sell? I mean, you've got to sell yourself to your partners and convince other people to work with you, that your idea is strong and that you have the ability and skills to deliver on expectations. But it's also, if you're raising capital for an investment, can you persuade other people who have the investment, to have the capital and who are looking around and understand the value of a real estate investment, to persuade them to join you? I mean, it's sales, but it's certainly
The art
all
of
the other aspect
convincing,
of
yeah.
it. Yes.
So, we've talked a good bit there about what you like about it, but what isn't so great about it?
There are always unexpected things going on with a property. Something big fails, and then you're in it for a lot of money. I learned early on, not on day one, but early on in my real estate investing, that for every problem there's a solution, and that is so true. And if you don't know what the solution is, there's somebody else who does. So if you need to find the solution, you need to find the person who can help you with the solution. And so all of these problems have solutions, and you got to get that mindset at first. But I've had problems. I've had a fire in a unit. I had a tenant who brought in somebody who had a gun in the unit, and really definitely not permitted in my units. And I've had one tenant committed a violent crime against another tenant, and I'm finding out, it's like, holy cow, how do you get past these things? And I've had the city come in, and the tenant complained about a problem that had not been fixed quick enough, and the city came in and gave me a list of things that I had to do, otherwise it'd be a fine. And I mean, I talk to a lot of people, and I've been investing for a long time, and I've met people who've gone through these exact same situations and far worse. It happens. You can't expect it to be a smooth ride. You have to be able to understand it and navigate it and solve the issue. Those are the difficult times, but the
Yeah,
good times
because I was what I
certainly
was going
come.
to ask you is what do you think your secret sauce is when it comes to your success? What comes easy to you that other people might find difficult to do?
I'm persistent. I know that I can figure problems out, and I can find people who have done what I'm trying to do. If I'm trying to learn about something or take the next step, there are people always in that next step who could help me with it. And so I have an ability to think about a problem and solve a problem, and there's always a solution to it. And I can talk to people and talk to them in a way that elicits constructive responses and good ideas and suggestions, and people that are in a position to help me. And I think that's something that I can do better than most people that I've met. And when I meet other people who have similar skills, they are successful, and it's easy for me to see how they became successful like that.
Yeah, the old adage, it's like, oh, this university thing isn't working for me. Do you know someone who got the result that you're looking for out of going to university? And it's like, okay, so it just didn't work for you then. So it's like really the grind and like making sure that you're staying consistent. So, how do you find your consistency, with everything going on? Are you still working the job and the other one, or have you retired from the other job so far?
I did retire from the other job. I've been out real estate exclusively for 2 years now. I started real estate investing 13 years ago, and certainly did it all that time with a W-2 job. You figure things out. It's a process of learning to manage your time, and people early on trying to get started in real estate ask me this all the time. What are the secrets? And the one that I relate to them the most is figure out your time management. Now, I can't tell you how to manage your time, but you got to figure it out. You can't dive in, especially you can't go buying an expensive coaching program if you haven't figured out how to manage your time yet. In other words,
Yeah,
if
to
your
even carve out
job,
the time to do it, you know.
whatever works for you. If it's early morning, middle of the day, step away from your job, find out how to take a phone call, how to make calls, and all that stuff. It's got to work for you.
Yeah, I would always say, especially when you have both, that you got to figure out how to navigate or find the time. And a lot of people don't even have a calendar. They don't keep like a time hour by hour of what it is that they plan to do the next day. And so, what kind of target you is it that you can't see that you can hit
Yeah,
at all in?
I mean, I can see being a somewhat of a free spirit or reactionary have a mentality where I
I'm going to sort it out as it comes.
yeah I'm more impulsive. That's definitely not how I am. But even then, you've got to figure out structure in your life. You've got to manage your time, utilize a calendar, and prioritize and make sure you're working on the things that align with your goals, long-term
Well, and that you're
goals.
doing things that make money too. That's a big one that I've been hearing on the podcast is like that. And certainly when I would train and coach people into the real idea of real estate is like hiding in the details that don't make you any money, avoiding the money making activities like calling realtors and raising money. So just like, busy isn't productive necessarily. Do you find it challenging to stay focused now that you've got all the extra time after the W-2? Because a lot of time people with the W-2, they're forced to have a schedule and like they work in these blocks only. But now that you're free from the W-2, gainfully unemployed, do you find it challenging to maintain a schedule and a habit?
No, I've found that part of it pretty straightforward because I've got times in the day when I know I can do this or I'm most productive. Doing real estate and a W-2 job, it really stresses you and creates challenges that you can't imagine that you had. You take your whole W-2 job away from that, and you it's like magic. You've got time to really think and focus. And for me, it's I spend a little more time on real estate than what I did before, but I also spend time on things I enjoy, and it's got to be worthwhile. And I've got I've got I try to have days of the week, times of the day that I am not going to be on real estate unless there's something active going on or somebody's calling or I really need to take this call. Nobody who is around me wants to hear that, but sometimes you have to. Sometimes you have to keep a certain process going and those kinds of things. But early on, yeah, it was super challenging. And when to do the real estate jobs and how to manage that time, of course, it's a major challenge. Yes.
Yeah, definitely. And with all that you've accomplished so far with your real estate, what would you say your biggest obstacle is these days?
I am having difficulty with a few specific areas of real estate. I have some level of deal flow. I talk to brokers. That's a big part of what I do. I'm constantly keeping in touch with brokers and finding out about deals that fit my buy criteria, and they're sending me packages. But it's not. They're not necessarily great deals. I mean, they look like nice properties. There still
Off
seems
the
to be
MLS, right?
no, not that so much. I look for properties that are a little outside of the scope of an MLS, or maybe between 70 and 150 units or so, but they are listed. I mean, I think that's probably what you meant, is that they're
Yeah, listed.
big brokers listing them for sure. Yeah, those can be okay. A lot of people. Will completely ignore him? I don't. I mean, those could be good opportunities. You never really know how many people are chasing it. It's not like a couple of years ago where anything decent on the market would get 20 or 30 offers. I don't think you're seeing that so much these days. But I see offerings that the seller's expectations are too high. Some more distressed properties coming to the market. I'd say that's my biggest challenge today.
Yeah, give it a few more months and or a year, and we'll have a few more to purchase. So, right now you mentioned that you haven't started capital raising for your next big purchase. How much is that, and how much capital do you think you're going to need?
First of all, I would qualify that. Yes, you're right. I don't. I have several properties that I am at the late stages of ready to make an offer. I don't hesitate in putting in an offer on it, but I want to make sure I've got the information that I feel that I need. One in particular I like, the parameters of the deal are very strong. A good offer from the seller. The seller is very motivated. It's a good area, and the high rent growth and some other qualities that I really like. I'd be raising probably $1.5 million on it tentatively. And there's a couple other properties that might be $2 to $3 million, but probably not too much more than that. My buy criteria is such that my raises are not huge. Like I have a lot of people in my network who are buying much bigger properties, and they're raising much larger amounts of money. Some with success, and some are challenged by it, particularly today. But they're still seeing success. There are people who want to invest, astute, forward-looking people who feel that real estate is a place they need to be over the next few years, and now's the
Yeah,
time.
5 or 10 years out, it's
Exactly,
not
yeah.
next year.
Yes.
So, you'd mentioned earlier, and I'm going to ask you again, are you a find the deal and then get the money, or do you prefer to have the money lined up and then go looking for the deal?
I am doing both at once. For me, I do not have a fund. I don't have money raised and sitting in a fund. I have a number of people in my investor network who I've met over a number of years and have relationships with, and I stay in touch with them. I communicate through social media and through newsletter, and I'm always available to them, and I often have ongoing conversations with them, just checking in. They want to know what's going on. So they are there and available. How many of them might want to invest in the next deal? I don't know that, because it depends on way too many things. It depends on the deal, depends on their particular state. So no, I don't have the money sitting in the bank ready, but I do have a pretty extensive network, and I'm always looking for more. I'm always interested in talking to people and educating them and seeing if real estate investing is right for them. That's a big part of what I do, is I put out a lot of information that is hopefully helpful to people getting started, and even people a little bit down the line. And I try to share what I know. And give them an honest perspective of whether this is right for them or not. And if I'm the right partner, what I've told a number of people is that a syndicator like me, somebody who's syndicated a number of deals and has great experience and a good track record, is not always the right syndicator for them. And I'm completely upfront about that, but there's no better person than a syndicator to be able to recommend another syndicator. I know the people in the business. I know who does well, and I have limited partner investments in a number of them, and can make recommendations if I'm not the right fit.
So, with raising significant amounts of capital, people have to like you, know you, and then ultimately trust you. What are you doing with your marketing or your branding to kind of facilitate that like no trust relationship?
I post on LinkedIn. I post informative content, like how to do something or what I did in this situation or I mean, not lengthy white papers or long reports or things like that, but just brief, something you can digest in a reasonably short period of time, and it's hopefully helpful. And some a lot of it is targeted to people who are thinking about real estate investing, but a lot of it is targeted to people who already have stuff and might have a property manager. And like, what did I do with a property manager in this situation? I had a situation when this particular thing happened, and these were the issues, and this is what I did, and it worked out well. Something short and sweet that addresses an issue. I post those kinds of things. I post smaller pieces of information to Instagram. It's just it's that it's meant for smaller
Shorter
topics like
stuff,
that.
yeah.
And my newsletter, I mentioned I have a monthly newsletter and I publish it. Anybody's welcome to receive it. They only need to go to my website, and I include informative content that way. I think that's the best way. If you want to know and trust a person, you've got to believe they've been there and done that, that they've
Yeah, or at least have the track record, got the video footage. Anyone can say they've been there and done that, but with the social media and the video footage, it really does say like, yeah, been there, done that. Here's the t-shirt. I was there.
Certainly,
So,
yeah.
if people want to connect with you, they want to learn more about your story, learn more about the way that you're able to navigate multifamily. What's the best way to connect with you? What should they do?
Here's an easy way to connect with me. It's go to learnaboutapartments.com. Having said that, you
Easy.
can easily go to my social media. You can connect with me on LinkedIn, Instagram. You can go to my website, Cardinal Oak Investments. You can email me, John, JOHN, at cardinaloak.com, CardinalOak.com.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you being here, and definitely we put on a little bit of a show here for the people listening at home. Hopefully they got as much as I did out of the conversation, John. I appreciate it.
Great. Thank you, Bryce. Yes, enjoyed it as well.
No problem. And until next time, guys, we'll catch you on the next episode.